Even if the sun ceases to rise, even if the wind stops to blow, but the name of Sligo Rover will shine and shine forever.
This is the Rovers Review on Ocean FM. Was it just me, or is Johnny Kenny Jr. starting to look and play more and more like Johnny Kenny Sr. every week? He was even playing on the right wing at Oriel Park, just like his dad used to. Different types of players, yes, but the same jawline when they start to sprint. It's been an eventful 7 days for Rovers and the bit of red, but they are in good shape as far as the league table is concerned. Mark Rossiter will join us later, but let's begin by reminding you of all that's happened over the past 7 days. It's Jordan time. Down the channel, let's play to Gibson on the left-hand side. Now, Gibson cuts infield well, gets past Bode, gets past Jamie Lennon. This is good for Jordan Gibson, and then he is unceremoniously muscled to the ground. And is this going to be a penalty kick for Sligo Rovers? It looks like it. Gibson is down in a heap, and it's going to be the man who was upended, Jordan Gibson, who will pick himself up off the ground and puts the ball down on the penalty spot. So Gibson with a golden opportunity early in the second half at the railway end, the Harry McLaughlin end of the ground here at the showgrounds, with Ben Bulbin lurking in the background. It's Gibson stepping up right footed and sends the goalkeeper the right way, low into the right left hand corner, and Jordan Gibson gives Sligo Rovers the lead here at the showgrounds. Corner kick to St. Pat's, and everybody, including goalkeeper Vinislav Yaros, are up around Ed McGinty's goalmouth area. 21 players in that penalty area right now. The only man not is the man taking the corner kick, Dara Burns. This is it for St. Pat's, who trail by a goal to nil. It'll be a left-footed in-swinging corner kick. In it comes. Heads going up for it. The ball is down and into the back of the net. And they've got their equaliser. In deep, deep, in out of time, it's the captain, Ian Birmingham. In the 95th minute, Ian Birmingham brings St. Patrick's Athletic level. It's 1-1 here at the showgrounds, and Sligo Rovers can't quite believe it.
A very good evening and welcome to Oriel Park. I was not going to win against that PA man. You're live here on OceanFM.ie with myself, Keith Dwyer, and indeed with Mark Rosser as well. And it's at Jakov, defeated Jakovskis, gets it out to Adedokin. Adedokin, though, is dispossessed by Johnny Kenny. Johnny Kenny now bearing down a goal. Still Johnny Kenny. It's still Johnny Kenny's probably pushing a little bit wide. Kenny gets the shot off, and it just goes wide of the post. Peter Cherry made the save. And Sligo Rovers could be one up.
Like, Johnny's done everything right there. Closed down the young lad there, Adacon. And, you know, he was trying to be too clever to sidestep him on the outside. Johnny read it, running through on goal. Just when he got to the 18-yard box, he took a touch out of his feet, and it gave Cherry a chance, took a touch out of his feet, and looked a little bit heavy.
Man, departs, gets it inside towards Gibson. Gibson with a good turn. Gibson now has space down the middle. Gibson takes a shot on, and it's there! In the back of the net, Sligo Rovers have took the lead here after 38 minutes. And what a flowing move of football.
Absolutely fabulous strike. I said it earlier that I'd like Gibson to play closer to Romeo, that they have a little partnership. He got a little flick away to him. Got a little bit lucky, but Jordan there at pace, running through. Fabulous strike.
But it was the turn by Gibson that was really sort of parts, as you saw, the touchdown. A great move. But what you talked, it's funny you talked about the long wind shots. That seemed to be one where he caught it perfectly. It fizzed along the surface there. Cherry wasn't getting near it.
Absolutely don't listen to anything I said before that. No, it was a fabulous strike. But that's the thing that I feel is lacking from Gibson at times. When he runs a pace, he glides past players. Sometimes he doesn't do it enough for me, or he does it half-heartedly. And you know, he's seen that he was in and gets a chance with an opportunity out of his feet. Fabulous strike. Other players would have taken another touch and allowed, say, Dundalk players there to maybe get a challenge or something like that, but he took it early, you know, 20-25 yards out, bravely hit it, but hit it so clean and Cherry couldn't do anything.
And it's Figueira who tidies up for Sligo Rovers, plays it back towards Ed McGinty. McGinty has Michael Duffy closing down and plays a long ball forward, and it's a strong header by Andy Boyle. Buckley under pressure by Junior. Buckley with a little bit of a high boot, and Buckley's going to get a second yellow card, and it's a red, and he's off. And Sligo Rovers are down to 10 men in the 53rd minute mark.
I think that's an awful decision. I really, really do. Number one, the ball is bouncing over Buckley's head as he's coming onto it, and Junior kind of jumps into his back. But then he put up his foot to try and move it out of the way. Junior gets ahead of him and he ends up kicking him in the face. But it's still not, you know, it's still not a red card. That's awful by Neil Doyle. It really, really is.
We're in the last minute of additional time. It's a corner, it's over on the left hand side. It's Michael Duffy going to take it for Dundalk, puts it in, and it's a super save by Ed McGinty. Sahibo had a point blank header, but McGinty reacted so well to make the stop mark.
Honest to God, I thought it was going to be like Pat's all over again there. I really, really did. Look, there's another corner coming in. That's a fabulous save. That looked like it was going top bins there. McGinty probably favoured him height-wise. He's a big lad, but look, at all credit to the keeper there. It's a fabulous stop.
It was a nice stop and a priceless 3 points for Sligo Rovers. Leave them just 4 points off the top and in good shape with 9 matches played. Or is that 10 matches played? You lose count, they're coming so thick and fast. Anyway, let's have a word with the man who got that match winner on Friday night and whose penalty was destined to give Sligo Rovers all 3 points on the Bank Holiday Monday against his former club, St Patrick's Athletic. Jordan Gibson, good evening to you.
Good evening, Austin.
That was quite a finish on Friday night at Oriel Park. You must have enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Good to see it hit the back of the net. Big win for us as well. I'm sure, like, we needed to win that game just to pull away from the pack chasing us and obviously get close to the ones at the top. So it was good.
Did you know straight away you were going to hit it from that far out?
Yeah, as soon as I turned, really. Obviously, I seen the defender coming close to me, and I just thought, I'm just going to try and get through his legs. And then it was a foot race with the other centre back that was coming across, and I just thought, if I get to the ball first, then I'm going to shoot. And thankfully, it went in.
I know a lot of Sligo Rovers fans were excited when you signed for the club in the closed season, and there was a little bit of expectation. But you really seem to be enjoying your football at the moment.
Yeah, and obviously that's down to the manager. You know, he's given me a lot of belief, and I spoke to him about my position, and I found myself on the right doing well. But I said that, you know, my favourite position is behind the striker in the number 10, and the last couple of games he's believed in me and my ability to play there. And thankfully, you know, I've repaid him with 2 goals at the moment and a lot more to come.
Yeah, and we saw you behind the striker on Monday against St Pat's, and you ran at St Pat's, and that run won a penalty.
Yeah, I actually found myself on the left foot at that time. I think Walter was inside the pitch, and there was an opportunity to drift wide, and I've got the ball, and I just thought, I'm gonna, you know, take it into the box, try and get into the box, and thankfully I drew the foul. And I think Romeo, credit to Romeo, because I think he wanted to take it, but he let me take it, and thankfully I put it away.
And has that always been your style of play, Jordan, that you will go with the ball and run and drift and try and... I mean, is that the way you grew up playing football?
Yeah. You know, I was at an academy. I was at West Brom and spoke briefly as a young player, but ever since 14... So when I went to Rangers at 17, those 3 years I was just playing the Sunday League and like amateur men's football, and that's all I ever knew, was just be direct, take people on, just play football how I wanted to play football. I wasn't schooled into anything or coached a certain way like maybe other people were, and I've just carried that through, and that's just how I am now.
Yeah. And without giving any dressing room confidences away, I mean, clearly you play to the as part of the Rovers system, but I suppose we get the sense that Liam Buckley is giving you a certain amount of leeway to give you that kind of creative freedom.
Yeah, you know, to be fair, I do my defensive work as well. I try and help Greg and Nala as much as possible, but yeah, going forward, you know, I'm free to express myself and I have the freedom on the pitch to do what I do, which is made easier by the people behind me, you know, the back four, the goalkeeper and the team midfielders behind me. Obviously, your job's made easier when they defend as they do, and for me and the other forwards, we've just got to do our job in it and try and win the game for the team.
Yeah, and it's probably one thing that the single television camera for Watch LOI doesn't capture is the work some players like yourself do off the ball in terms of that chasing back. It's something your manager has referenced a couple of times in post-match interviews. That is a part of your game, isn't it? The tracking off the ball, getting back, helping out, whether it's Colm Horgan on the right or Robbie McCourt on the left.
Yeah, that's always been part of my game. I feel like, you know, I've got the energy to win the ball back, and I read the game quite well as well. You know, I get back just because I know the opposition. If I was on the opposition and I was a winger, you know, I'd want to be 1v1, so I try and help out the full back as much as possible, or in the central areas as well. I try and help out the midfield because I feel like I've got the energy and the fitness to do that. So, yeah.
Have Sligo Rovers matched your expectations, Jordan? You're 10 games into the new season. What are your impressions now? You've had a tour around the nine clubs that you're up against this season. What are your impressions? And I know you played obviously with St. Pat's last season, so this is not a new league to you, but in terms of the Sligo Rovers setup, has it lived up to what you were hoping it would be?
Yeah, I didn't really know what to expect, to be honest, because obviously, when I was at St. Pat's, I think they played them before the break, the COVID break. So I didn't actually come up to Sligo and get to see it. So I was basically coming into the unknown, really. I had a few chats with a few people and obviously the gaffer. And I just believed in what he was trying to do and the players that he brought in. And I believed in the project. So, yeah, 100%. I've really enjoyed my football. It's gone probably better than I expected at this point because obviously, there's a lot of new signings and it's hard to bed in so soon, but we've done well. It's a good start and we're looking to build on that now.
And the way you've responded after the Derry City blip, there are going to be blips in a season, that's par for the course, but that win on Friday night, was that just a small little stable just statement for yourselves just to kind of steady the ship again?
Yeah, I think, you know, Derry had a bit of a boost with the manager, but we've just got to apply ourselves while in every game, no matter the opposition. I feel like, you know, the few games before the Dundalk game, it wasn't playing with the same intensity, and I don't know if that was because, you know, we were playing teams, you know, Derry was obviously bottom at the time, and we can't afford to not apply ourselves correctly each game. And you know, it was good to get the win on Friday night and get back on the winning track.
Yeah. And one final question, Jordan. You know, one of the elements to having a successful side is that you've got a content dressing room, and you know, there's a lot of new faces have come in. You're getting to meet and get to know a lot of new teammates this season, and several other new arrivals at the showgrounds are as well. But you seem to get on this particular bunch of players.
Yeah, there's a lot of leaders in the group, and you know, we've gelled together well since pre-season, and obviously Greg Bulger, he's kind of just glued everyone together, and he's a good person, good leader to have on the pitch. You know, he's always communicating, and yeah, the group's gelled really well, to be fair, considering the circumstances as well. He couldn't have gone any better for us, and hopefully, I know there's a lot more to come from us. You know, I think we've not even got started yet, you know. So it's exciting times.
Will you keep taking the penalties, or will Romeo ask for that responsibility back, do you think?
To be fair, Romeo's not even on them. It was Johnny that...
Yeah.
He said, obviously, we did have a penalty before that, but he said if we get a penalty, Johnny's on them, because me and Johnny kind of do it after training.
Okay.
It's always us two that are out doing them, and obviously, Johnny didn't play that game, so... You know, I stepped up considering I won it, and I don't think he can set me off him now, so Johnny's going to have to bide his time.
Well, it's a good sign that there are plenty of guys putting their hand up for the spot kicks anyway, Jordan. That's certainly a good sign. Listen, keep doing what you're doing, and well done on Friday night, and good luck against... it's Waterford next Saturday, of course, so you'll want to build on... Well, that beauty you scored down in the South East at the start of the season, which was the match winner in the end. You set up Romeo's goal against Waterford, and you scored the winner in the end. That was a nice finish too.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, hopefully we can have the same kind of result. That was only my second game as well, and it was good to get off the mark. Obviously, I don't think I'll hit many better than that. But... yeah, the 3 points are most important that game, and hopefully, you know, we get the 3 points this game coming up.
Let's hope so. Well, Jordan, thanks for your time. I know I've dragged you away from West Ham against Everton on the telly, so I'll let you catch the last couple of minutes of that and see if Shamey Coleman and Everton can hold on for a 1-0 win. Jordan Gibson, thank you for joining us on the Rovers Review.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
That's Jordan Gibson, Rovers match winner on Friday night, and let's hope he can continue that rich vein of form that he seems to be enjoying at the moment. Let's have a word with Mark Rossiter, who was part of our commentary team on Friday night at Oriel Park. And Mark, we played your little excerpt on commentary. You couldn't but be impressed with the way he took his chance in that first half.
Yeah, fabulous strike.
I know
a lot of people are there giving out about, say, Andy Boyle on the night that, you know, he gets too tight to him. To me, Andy Boyle done everything right, and the only way past him was through his legs. Jordan done it. But I think the thing that surprised me was the explosiveness of him from 0 to 100 speed-wise. He's extremely quick. He reminds me actually of Keith Fahey, the way he runs, when Fahey set the league alight in 2008. Glides along the ground beautifully, hit the shot so sweetly. And I wouldn't mind, I'd said earlier on in the half there, I don't know why people are shooting on that pitch. It just seems to be dragging and dragging and dragging. So, you know, the synthetic pitches, it's not easy to strike a ball. And then Jordan just hit it so cleanly. It was a beautiful goal.
We'll come back in just a moment. I think Jordan's line might still be on there, so we'll just tidy that up and continue our chat in just a moment. Mark Rossiter with us here on the Rovers Review, 083 3500 530. Elsewhere this week, the chairman of Sligo Rovers Football Club says small numbers of fans may be allowed to return to League of Ireland grounds towards the end of the summer, but Tommy Higgins thinks it will be next year before full attendances will be allowed in again.
I know there's a huge pent-up demand for supporters to go back on all sports, and especially with Sligo Rovers, we're having a good run at present, and I know from the comments people are dying to come back into the stadiums again. It's not going to be that simple. It's not about, we could accommodate 25%, 1,000 people quite easily there, but I think it's the crowds going in and then shuffling out again. I think it's about the congregation of crowds that's the problem. When this started a year ago, my view was, you know, people were asking about what it was going to be like, especially the entertainment business. I said, this is a 3 to 5 year problem. We're into the second year now, and we're still not, you know, we're nowhere near coming back to normal. It'll only start getting back to normal from next year, what I call back to normal. It'll be gradually, bit by bit, places will open up. And I see the theatres are starting to open Broadway from September. That's near the end of the year.
Yeah.
But only to half capacity. And I don't know how that's going to work financially. So we have to stay with it. I think it'll be next year before we'll have full crowds back in the showground.
Okay, well...
But I would be hopeful we'll have some sort of crowds by August, September. But they'll be small.
Tommy Higgins, the Sligo Rovers chairman, he was chatting to Niall Delaney on the Friday panel on Northwest Today. earlier this week. Mark Rossiter is back on the line with me now. Just going back to the significance of that win in Oriel Park, you know, to steady a minor blip, because it's still early in the season and we shouldn't probably read too much into what happened at home to Derry yet. But just in your mind, what sort of a statement that win against Dundalk sends out, Mark?
Absolutely huge. I thought they were very, very fortunate to come away with a point against Drogheda last week, but then to follow that up with a huge performance against Pats and to be, you know, very unlucky. You know, there seems to be a lot of, I suppose, last-minute equalisers and winners in the league. And I suppose Sligo were just on the wrong side of it last week against Pats. But then to come back with that performance, do you know what it was when you were at the game? It was like tactically they were perfect. Even when they went down to 10 men after the 52nd minute, they were so controlled and in control of the game. They were very, very, very impressive.
Yeah, I think the words you used a couple of times on commentary was comfortable. You know, you couldn't get over, in comparison to what Dundalk were offering, that Rovers at Oriel Park of all places were able to manage things. And I know there were those important saves but that Ed McGuinty had to make towards the end, but even with a man down, it didn't throw the system out of kilter completely.
No, it didn't. And like, you were looking at them saves that McGuinty made were 40 minutes after Buckley got sent off. You know, it was last ditch stuff that they were just throwing the kitchen sink at us. You know, they didn't move the ball quick enough to try and, you know, utilise that man up on Sligo. And they were so comfortable. You know, Moran and Bulger in the middle were never stretched. John Mann and Blaney, when he came on, never stretched. And they never got in behind Sligo. Their lines were perfect. It was a very professional performance by them.
So we're 10 games in for Sligo Rovers into the table. Can we draw some conclusions now, Mark, about what shape this particular Premier Division season is taking? You know, is it a three-horse race, or can you still see teams like Bohemians and Dundalk working their way into challenging in the coming weeks?
Like, Bohemians have put in performances. You know, will they get back there? No, they've tinkered a lot with their team. I can't see them being up in the top three. I think the top three will be the top three the way it is. Dundalk is still, there doesn't seem like there's any sign of a manager to come in. But never mind that, there doesn't seem to be any kind of a performance coming out of them either. So I don't think Dundalk will be in the top three either. I think the three teams that are there, but I still think that Sligo are going to be a little bit light, and I think Pats are. I think they'll, you know, if they finish in the top three, I think it's a fabulous season to build on next year, to add to the quality that they've brought in this year with the likes of Greg and Jordan and bringing Romeo back and stuff like that. I think that they could add to it, make the squad, I suppose, a little bit stronger and deeper. To challenge what Shamrock Rovers have up there, because they've got, you know, 20 players that could play in any team, let's say. You know, they've got a lot of experience and a lot of talent there. So I don't think Sligo are there, you know, at the minute, but it's still something to build on. You don't know what'll happen in the window either, whether there'll be funds there for Liam to strengthen and see what could come in, you know.
And where would they strengthen, Mark? I mean, at the back, Rovers look pretty, pretty solid. They've conceded, they've got the best, they've got the third best, third best defensive record in the league. They've conceded 7, Shams and Pats 6 apiece. I mean, there doesn't appear to be too much wrong at the back, at least.
No, absolutely. Everything's going swimmingly. I do always think that when there's, a lot of games, like 3 games in a week, and then when the cups will start and stuff like this, that, you know, unfortunately, teams with thin squads may pick up niggles, and you just be hoping that it isn't one of them key players for Sligo. You know, I think John Mahan says it would be a huge loss, so I hope he doesn't get injured. Greg in the middle would be a huge loss to any team. I'd like to see him pick up less yellow cards, because I don't think he'll do anybody any favours sitting in the crowd. You know, even if it's only for one match, he'd be a huge loss to them in the middle. So, you know, over the course of the season, it'll test the squad hugely, physically and mentally, I suppose. You know, because going into the Waterford game, you know, they've had a week's rest, let's say, because of the COVID case down there. So they played their 19th team. So it's given the first team another week to train together, you know, to try and galvanise down there with Sheedy and Mike Newell going. So it'll be interesting to see. So Sligo can take the foot off the pedal and assume that it's going to be an easy night.
Can I ask you about Romeo Parks, Mark? There's a lot of affection amongst the Sligo Rovers public for the big Jamaican, and everybody wants to see him do well, and people are delighted he's back, and he got that terrific goal against Waterford early on in the season, and he's had moments and flashes, but I think anybody watching or listening to Friday night's game would accept, in the first half in particular, he struggled, he didn't play well, there were mistakes coming. What do you put that down to? Is it that he's slightly out of form? Is it fitness, match sharpness? What do you see is going on there?
I don't particularly know, because against Bowes he was the best player for Sligo on the pitch, and he didn't. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say it could have been a little bit of fatigue, and it's a sticky pitch. By all accounts they're not treating the pitch right up there either. I wasn't down pitch side, so I didn't walk on it to see what it was like. So there's no, you know, it looked a bit sticky for both teams. It wasn't, you know, I suppose the free-flowing football that you would expect from, say, the Dundalk squad or Liam's team. The ball looked a little bit slow and it was travelling on the ground. So I'd put that down to the pitch and give Romeo a break for that night. It was difficult, but look, Cleary and Andy Boyle are a mean centre-half partnership, so it wasn't going to be easy. But yet, with him dropping deep, he allowed space for Jordan to go in behind, and ultimately when the ball broke to Jordan from Romeo, that's where the space was for him, and you know it ended up being a goal and the winner on the night. So you know, Romeo and Jordan were causing problems even before that, you know. So I think Romeo over the course of the season will be a great signing.
And I want to chat to you about the man on the right wing. You were only a young whippersnapper when Johnny Kenny Sr. was raiding up and down the touchline for Sligo Rovers in the 1990s. But listening to yourself and Keith on commentary on the radio on Friday night and watching the pictures on the telly, I don't know what it was, but for the first time you could see a bit of his dad in Johnny Kenny Jr. And I don't know if it was because he was playing on the right for a decent portion of that game, but it's kind of the gait of him. They're very different players in many ways, but even when he started to sprint or skip past the player, you could see, I don't know if it was the jawline or what it was, but there was just a little hint of his dad in some aspects of what he was trying to do on Friday night.
Yeah, something about him. The only thing about him is, like, I think everybody will ask the question going, is he as quick as Johnny Senior? Because to me, when I was, 10 years of age, 11 years of age, going out to the showgrounds, and, you know, you would have had him and Willie McStay behind him, say, playing right back. And to me, Johnny Kenny was probably the quickest player in the world. He looked that quick, you know. The only thing was, I'd say young Johnny would be a better finisher than big Johnny. So they all have their attributes. Yeah. And the only thing for young Johnny is, with him being moved to the right, it made it difficult for him the other night, because it's not his, say, natural position. He looks far more comfortable up the middle. But, you know, at times he's going to have to do a shift in different roles. But when he got moved into the middle after Gary Buckley got sent off, he worked his socks off, and he's a joy to watch up there leading from the front.
He does ooze confidence, doesn't he? For such a, you know, he's still a teenager, this guy, but he seems to, you know, nothing fazes him, or no opponent, however uncompromising they might be, seems to faze him. I mean, you get the impression, if Liam Buckley asked him, Johnny, can you go in goals there for the last 15 minutes, he'd go in and do a job for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's nothing better than feeling confident. And, you know, Liam obviously instills that confidence in him as well. He doesn't try to knock it out of him. I think we spoke about it before. Me and Keith spoke about it first day of the season, that when the big centre-back from the Faroe Islands had a little knock with Johnny, and Johnny was on the ground and he got up straight away and wanted to have a go at him. You know, and for a 17-year-old to do this against an international, you're there going, he has a bit of fight in him. So it was great to see, and, you know, I wish him well and hope he stays injury-free, because he's got a huge career ahead of himself.
What is the key thing for Sligo Rovers, do you think, for this next second round of matches in this League of Ireland Premier Division season? Shamrock Rovers, are, let's face it, are setting a pretty hot pace at the moment. I said Rovers, the Sligo Rovers, that is, were 4 points off the pace. They're actually seven because it was four after Friday night. But since then, Shams have beaten St. Pat's 2-1 in the top of the table clash. So they're seven clear of Sligo Rovers on 26 points. They are beginning to stretch their legs, aren't they?
Yeah, and the danger, I think the danger for every team in the league there is, you know, Danny Mandrew scored the winner there in the 92nd minute the other night. You're looking at Sean Gannon scored against Longford in the 92nd minute, and Danny Mandrew scored against Drogheda in the 95th minute with a header, all winning goals. It's the sign of champions, the goal to the last whistle. And, you know, I do think they're in a league of their own. You know, I don't even see them letting up. That's the thing. And, you know, you'd worry about teams like, that's a huge loss for Pat. Like, it'll be interesting to see how to come back from that, from starting really well and then losing in injury time. But then again, like a couple of days previous to that, they could have been leaving the showgrounds with 0 points and end up Birmingham scores, of all people, Ian Birmingham scoring a header. You know, you wouldn't expect the left back to be there scoring a header in the 93rd minute. But no, I don't think from Sligo's point of view, I'd be looking going, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. You've got new players there, so they're going to become more familiar with them, with each other on the pitch. And look, it's you know, Lewis Banks has come in and been playing a couple of games, and, you know, it's been a seamless kind of transition when he comes in for Horgan, let's say. And, you know, they all look like that they play for each other. So I think all from the first phase of games is all very, very positive.
Very good. Mark Rossiter, roll on Waterford next Saturday and Shams later in the month. Thank you for joining us on the Rovers Review.
No worries. Take care.
So next up for Sligo Rovers is Waterford next Saturday evening, 5 o'clock kickoff, or is it 5:45 kickoff? In fact, it's 6 o'clock kickoff, I beg your pardon, at the showgrounds. And we'll have live updates and commentary excerpts in between the GEA coverage next Saturday on Ocean FM. Here is the league table as it stands. Shamrock Rovers, the leaders and champions, played 10, 26 points. Then a gap of 5 to St. Pat's in second, played 10, 21 points. Rovers are third, played 10, 19 points. Then a gap of 5 to Ollie Horgan's Finn Harps. They're on 14 points, but they stay fourth. Drogheda are fifth on 13 points. Bohemians on 11. Dundalk have 10. Derry City on 9. And the bottom two, Longford Town on 7. And Waterford on at the bottom on 6 points.
Even if the sun ceases to rise, even if the wind stops to blow,